When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Effectual data creation facility production. Welcome to the OFNT podcast, episode 224. Which I'm calling Shorty Short Short. This episode isn't really that short, but episodes that have Shorty in the title seem to do better than those that don't. I think people take the word Shorty by its slang meaning, which refers to women. What can I tell you? Women sell. Perhaps one day I'll do an episode all about women. Who knows? Well, Shorty or not, I hope you had a great week and have a great next week. Okay, enough of me babbling. Let's roll. Tech news from CNET.com. Apple's RCS texting previews all new feature for green bubble texts, unquote. Yeah, the tech press is kind of amped up about rich communication services support coming to Apple devices this fall.
Yeah, boy.
The bad news, at least for some, is that the chat bubbles for RCS will remain the same color as current plain old SMS messages, which is green.
Aww.
I do wish that Apple would let you change the chat bubble color, though. I would prefer a darker color, and Apple could limit those colors to prevent users from changing it to iMessage blue. Now, maybe someday. CNET dug into Apple's iOS 18 preview page and found a screenshot of what an RCS conversation could look like on an iPhone. It looks like a standard SMS message, except for a received indicator below the bubble, along with the RCS next to the usual text message indicator within the typing area. Besides a typing indicator and high-resolution photos, that's about all we can expect as far as supported RCS features from Apple. The company has stated that they will be working closely with the GSMA in order to standardize RCS features, like the all-important end-to-end encryption of messages. Google implements its own proprietary features within their own version of RCS, including that end-to-end encryption, but Apple will never adopt any of Google's standards, and I agree with that. It's better to work towards an industry standard rather than have one company dominate the space. Beyond those basic RCS features, I can't see Apple supporting any others, because RCS would be competing with iMessage, and we can't have that now, can we? Are you looking forward to having RCS on your Apple devices? Or are you like me, whose friends and families all have iPhones, so either way, it just really doesn't matter? OG tech site ZDNet reports that Google has announced a date for the company's next Made by Google event, which will be held on August 13th of this year. This is a bit unusual because Google usually holds the event in October. ZDNet asked the big G why this was, but received no answer from the company. ZDNet assumes that Google wants to get a jump on Apple's annual iPhone event. So, what can we expect to be announced at this year's Made by Google event? ZDNet expects three models of the Google Pixel 9, including a new smaller version, which I think is a great idea, a Pixel Watch 3 XL, which is a supersized version of the current Pixel Watch, and perhaps the Pixel 9 Pro Fold, an upscaled version of the company's Fold 2. Also expected are a Pixel Watch 3, new Pixel Buds, a non-Pro Pixel Fold, and a new Pixel tablet. What I see missing here is a new Pixel Chromebook. With the announcement a couple of weeks ago, which basically folds Chrome OS into Android, perhaps the end of new Pixel Chromebooks has arrived. And in my opinion, that's a shame. While I'm constantly tempted to pick up an Android phone, I'm very tempted by the prospect of a high-end Chromebook. Or at least I was before the combining of Android and Chrome OS was announced. A smaller Pixel phone could take a bit of business away from Apple, who attempted to fill the small phone niche by its own iPhone mini series, with disastrous results, unfortunately for them. Are you interested in any of the products expected to be announced at the Made by Google event? Let me know. And let's not forget that Samsung has an Unpacked event on July 10th. This year's summer event will be held in Paris. Normally, Sammy held them in New York, but I guess the market has dried up here, judging by the rare sightings of Samsung phones around this area lately. Previously, you would see a couple of Galaxy phones around, but I've noticed, at least here in New York, sightings of them have become a rarity. Down in Tennessee, though, I saw more Galaxy phones and Android phones in general than iPhones. Maybe that RCS support will come in handier than I thought once I relocate down there. Anyway, according to, again, ZDNet, we can expect the Galaxy Watch 7, which will be available in a larger 40mm design with updated internals. The watch will also add blood oxygen detection, and that's something that the latest Apple Watch doesn't have because of a patent dispute.
What?
Yeah, I hope Apple resolves this, or I'll be hanging on to my Series 7 Apple Watch for another year. This new Galaxy Watch will have 15-watt charging, which would be 50% faster than the current model, and it'll have, wait for it, a Galaxy AI, which will be there for help while composing messages and offering sleep advice. The Galaxy Z Fold 6 is expected to be announced, potentially being the thinnest and lightest big screen foldable from Samsung. The Z Fold 6 is expected to be rocking a 6.3-inch external screen and a giant 7.6 internal screen. The jury is still out on the foldable form factor, but Motorola is breathing down Sammy's neck in this niche market. Finally, the Belle of the Ball is expected to make its debut, the oft-leaked Galaxy Smart Ring. To separate the Galaxy Ring from the pack, it may support ECG testing and controls for Samsung SmartThings along with wireless payment support, and that's only if you're using Samsung Pay. The Galaxy Ring is only for Android users, so iOS users need not apply. I believe the Galaxy Ring will be a success, and I hope it helps in convincing Apple to enter the Smart Ring market. Well, time will tell, as always. Gizmodo.com has the following headline. Government workers are being ordered to update their Google Pixel phones ASAP, unquote. Well, I didn't even know the U.S. government was issuing out Pixel phones these days. When I was employed by the Department of Homeland Security, the managers were supplied with Samsung Galaxy phones with a plan in place to replace those phones with iPhones and expand the issue of phones to all employees, including the uncultured masses who are actually in the field. And that's what I was for most of my career. Then again, things change, and I've been retired for a year and a half now, so I really don't know what current plans are over there. I wouldn't have minded using a government-issued Pixel, being that I already had an iPhone. Google has warned federal employees to update their Pixel phones before July 4th, or else they should stop using them.
Wow.
Pretty serious stuff. The government says there's a high-level firmware vulnerability that can be exploited and users should take action ASAP. Graphene OS, which is a popular pioneer of de-Googled Android ROMs, posted to X that this vulnerability is not Pixel-specific and that this is the second part of a fix for another vulnerability reported in April, which is actively being exploited in the wild. Pixels were fixed in a June update of Android 14, but will not be fixed on other Android devices until they are updated to Android 15, and which, because of all the different flavors of Android that manufacturers use, could be sometime in the future. Well, that leaves these Galaxy devices my former coworkers use or used vulnerable.
Oh, no!
Two takeaways here. Do you see why I'd be cautious about Google melding Android and Chrome OS together? And I would go with a Pixel phone if I were an Android user. You get updates quicker, especially the all-important security updates. You know, if I ever came into some money,
No. Hey,
don't stop believing, I'd get me a Pixel phone, Galaxy Ring, and a Chromebook, and live the Android life for a while, just to check it out. So, send your donations via the link in the show notes to enable me to do this.
No!
You can't blame a guy for trying. Reuters, or Reuters, whatever the correct pronunciation is, has an article with the headline, Exclusive, Amazon mulls $5 to $10 monthly price tag for unprofitable Alexa service, AI revamp, unquote. First off, this story has been floating around for months now, so I don't understand how Reuters gets off calling this an exclusive. Anyway, the gist of this article is that Amazon's pioneering digital assistant has never turned a profit and that Amazon was caught flat-footed amid the rise of generative AI-equipped products. And that this current push, under the name of Project Banyan, named after the sprawling trees, is a desperate and last-ditch effort to revitalize the service. The company's CEO, Mr. Andy Jassy, has been pushing the team working on the project to have it ready by August of this year. The article's sources, listed as current and former workers on the Project Banyan, paint a doom and gloom scenario, though. We'll just have to wait until August in order to see if these sources were correct. As far as pricing for this new AI service goes, my limit would be at the $5 mark. As I've stated on past episodes, I would welcome an AI supercharging of Alexa, but I'm not willing to pay a heavy subscription price in order to use it. $5 sounds about right to me. What say you? Tech I'm using. Well, not much going on here this week. All of my tech is doing its job. Knock on wood. And that's real wood. Kiln-dried mahogany that's lasted me over 30 years. Not that pressed wood crap they charge a bundle for these days. Speaking of which, we're still awaiting our delivery date for the load of furniture we ordered earlier in the month. In the meantime, I'm searching for what computer desk to buy for my recording studio/office space in the new house. Unlike basic furniture, computer desks seem to be priced reasonably. On the other hand, chairs to go along with that desk, not so much. Well, I actually need two chairs because I have an old-style desk I inherited from my dear departed grandmother that will go into my master bedroom suite. That desk will become the home of my 15-inch MacBook Air and perhaps the recording hub of a daily OFNT tech headline show I'm considering launching. I'm enlisting my millennial son for help in selecting the chairs and desk I'll be buying. Yeah, he'd know better than me what's worthy of my consideration.
Yes.
The only future tech on the horizon for me is a pair of full-size Apple HomePods to go along with the television set I plan on buying, a new 4K Apple TV box, again to be mated to that new TV, a basic Peloton bike come October, and the upcoming Apple Watch if and only if it's equipped with the blood oxygen monitor and hopefully the rumored blood pressure monitoring. I'll be keeping my MacBook Air, Mac Mini, iPhone 15 Pro Max, and 2022 iPad Pro for the foreseeable future. All of those computing devices run on the Apple Silicon M2 chip, and I don't know why, but I kind of like having them all powered by the same CPU. My iPhone 15 Pro Max will be capable of running most, if not all, of the features of iOS 18, so there's no need to upgrade. Anyway, I really do intend on going for a smaller size phone next time I upgrade, as the importance of my cell phone decreases as my age increases. Also, I'm thinking of getting a 13-inch iPad in lieu of a new laptop when the time comes. For my basic computing needs, an iPad does everything I'd want it to do. That darn Apple tax, though.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Entertainment news. Well, if you thought the tech I'm using section was sparse, well, hold my beer. As far as entertainment news, I've got basically nothing. I'm still watching Prime Video's The Boys, Paramount Plus's Mayor of Kingstown, and just started getting into MGM Plus's Hotel Cocaine. I don't know, there's something about 80s drug dealer stories I just can't resist.
Yeah, boy.
Other than that, I'm awaiting the new seasons of the Karate Kid-based Cobra Kai, which drops on Netflix late July, Hulu's Only Murders in the Building, which is coming in August, and Tulsa King, which is coming in September on Paramount+. The only movie I'm looking forward to is Beverly Hills Cop 4, which Netflix releases on July 3rd. While I wasn't a real big fan of the three original movies of the series, I didn't hate them. For me, Beverly Hills Cop 4 will be a nostalgia watch. I just hope Eddie Murphy can recapture the feeling of the old flicks. Podcast news. Well, according to sources, this particular one being podnews.net, the Call Her Daddy podcast is up for sale. Spotify dropped a heap of cash on the show in order to make it an exclusive on the platform a while back. Shortly thereafter, Spotify made the podcast available to all, just like they did the Joe Rogan podcast. Unlike the Joe Rogan podcast, Spotify didn't retain ad service rights for the Call Her Daddy podcast and didn't invest any more capital into it, meaning no Joe Rogan-type financial deal. So the show is a free agent but seems to be having trouble finding a new home. SiriusXM is rumored to be a possible suitor, but is demanding a guaranteed minimum download clause be included in any contract, which tells me that the so-called girl power show isn't doing so well. Couldn't have happened to a better show, I say. Call Her Daddy started as a show hosted by two women who chronicled their dating experience in New York. The podcast was known for the two hosts describing sexual acts and situations in graphic detail. The podcast audience included many men. I assume to have a chance to hear women talking dirty. I figure these male listeners must have been inexperienced because if you really knew women, then you'd know that, unlike men, they go into graphic detail of their sexual encounters while talking amongst themselves. That's been my experience working with them my whole life. Barstool Sports picked the show up and the podcast blossomed. Well, the two hosts had a falling out with one leaving. That was the result of the remaining host going behind her back in order to negotiate a new and more lucrative contract with Barstool. But as soon as that host got a better offer from Spotify, well, the show bolted from Barstool. And that shows the lack of loyalty from Alex, I think that's her name, the now only show host. Barstool's audience is primarily a male-dominated one, but the host took the show in another direction. Less dirty talk and more interviews with, quote, empowered women, unquote, as guests. Barstool probably saw the writing on the wall and was relieved that the Call Her Daddy show was leaving. This interview style was of no interest to the male audience, which probably caused a sharp decline in audience numbers once the show settled into Spotify. Well, whatever happens, I'm sure the team that produces Call Her Daddy will see a reduction of numbers and pay, wherever the show winds up, if anywhere. Google Podcast listening app is dead. Long live Google Podcasts. Well, at least outside of the United States, the app continues to live. According to numerous sources, a week after its international closure, the app is still available for download for both iOS and Android outside of the good old U.S., and you can still download and stream podcast episodes using it. More surprisingly, the Google Podcast apps are still accepting new shows.
What?
Either Google has cut its international staff so much that there aren't enough employees left to shut it down on time, or its replacement, YouTube Music, isn't ready for the international market yet. Maybe some international regulators are putting the kibosh on the app shutdown, or Google is just being lazy. Well, only Google's hairdresser knows. The New York Times, the former newspaper of record, well, it might still be, though, the likely paper itself, that record is broken, has announced that some of the news organization's podcasts will be put behind a paywall, meaning they'll only be available to monthly subscribers. This, according to the Wall Street Journal. Only the three most recent episodes of the Daily podcast will be available to non-subscribers, while new episodes of its Serial podcast will be fully nestled behind that paywall. Archives of both shows will also reside behind this paywall. This follows the introduction of the New York Times dedicated app earlier in the year. If this money grab, and let's call it for what it is successful, I expect all of the organization's podcasts to move some or all of its episodes behind a paywall also. The Economist newspaper has recently made the same move. You know, I'd never pay a single cent for any content put out by the New York Times or its fellow partisan, opinion-driven news organizations, which have become nothing more than government mouthpieces. And that includes Fox, too, for those who wonder. Well, the shock mount for my Rode Procaster microphone didn't survive my recent trip down to Tennessee. Will I be replacing it? No, I won't be. When I purchased it, the price was a reasonable $24. Nowadays, it goes for $40. I'll just have to be more careful when or if I ever use that mic again. I had ordered the Lewitt Connect 2 audio interface from Amazon I talked about in the last episode, but the order went sideways on me. It was supposed to be next-day delivery, but once shipped, I got a six-day delivery estimate.
What the hell?
I promptly canceled the order, but the real problem started while attempting to get my money back. I waited 2 days after the item was shown to be returned to the seller before following up. Well, the seller claimed that he hadn't received the item back from the shipper, and until that time, well, no refund. In my response, I attached a screenshot of the return to seller status, to which they replied, well, according to their records, it wasn't received. Well, I barely kept my composure here. I waited another day before sending a, well, let's call it a more firmly worded message to them, again requesting a refund for an item that I'd never received. The next morning, the refund amount was posted to my bank account. Unlike the Kinect 6 audio interface that I had ordered previously from Amazon, the Kinect 2 is sold by third-party sellers only, not directly from Amazon. I may yet purchase a Kinect 2, but it won't be from a third-party seller on Amazon. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been having a lot of problems lately with Amazon, which has me questioning my Prime membership that I've held since 1999. The normal Prime delivery at the location of my new abode is 3 to 4 days. Arch rival Walmart offers a Prime-like 2-day delivery window. So unless Prime Video lives up to the promise of its early days, I might part ways with Amazon after 25 years. I mean, what's the sense of having it? In a story that I almost forgotten about, Spotify now lets all podcasters on their platform upload video, not just to big shows like Joe Rogan and the aforementioned Call Her Daddy podcast. Could we be seeing a first step towards Spotify launching a full-blown YouTube service?
I don't know.
Yeah, me either, but I hope it is. YouTube could use a real competitor. Yeah, I know Rumble and others are out there, but they don't have the same quantity or quality of content that the Tube of You currently has. And that's because those competitors lack the financial assets that both YouTube and Spotify have access to. A full-service YouTube competitor would be a good thing, because as you know, competition rules. The music has once again started playing, which signals the beginning of the end of yet another episode of the OFNT podcast. And that's one less episode to be recorded in New York. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com, and that's only if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Yeah, I really would. Remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Now, I've tried to come up with some witty outro, but nothing has come to this old fart mind, so just get off my lawn. Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.